T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I don't want to make a huge deal out of this yet, because let's keep in mind, this is a completely new regime on the offensive side of the ball. They could be doing things a different way, and there could be a lot of people who aren't used to the new way things are going to be done, and maybe they might be better. I'm allowing for that, because it's extremely early in terms of what they've done. But so far, I mean, I have countless people who have either been with the Patriots or are hearing from players on the team who they are alarmed to this point, and they've barely done anything so far, Trenny. And so they are really worried about the direction of the offense, where this is going, especially off of what a lot of people heard. A lot of people around the NFL listened to what Joe Judge said the other day, and almost all of them were like, what? What is he talking about? And so there is a high level of concern about what's going on with the Patriots.
That is NBC Sports Boston. Welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday. Nate Geary, Zach Jones hanging out with you this morning into the afternoon as we head into the afternoon hour now at 12:07. Joining us on the Wester Hotline is the Patriots beat reporter over at New England Sports Network, NESN. He's also the co-host of NESN's Patriots podcast. It's Zach Cox joining us on the Wester Hotline. Zach, thanks so much for joining us on your Saturday afternoon, my friend. I'm sure that's that sound clip from NBC Sports Boston has been making the rounds throughout the Patriots fan base. I can tell you it has certainly made the rounds in the Bills Mafia fan base. In fact, if you're like, you know, if you're in one of those group text messages with friends, I've got a lot of Bills fans that are friends in group text messages. I had like two or three people send me that clip, sort of in a level of like kind of a point and laugh situation. What, in your estimation, Zach, because I hear this a lot, which is, if it was any other coach, blank, right? And Bill Belichick has built up enough goodwill to basically do whatever he wants, but I guess I didn't figure he would go this route at this point. There is a lot of questions about what Bill Belichick is doing, but now that you're hearing people in New England teams, guys that cover the team talking about it, it is starting to become a more interesting storyline to me, Zach.
Yeah, I would say this is in my opinion, the single most interesting and important storyline surrounding this entire Patriots team this season, just because you look at where they are as a franchise. They have a quarterback in Mac Jones who looks like a potential franchise quarterback, looks like a potential star if he kind of continues that trajectory that he showed last season. And now he's going to be coached by a coaching staff that does not feature a single person who has coached quarterbacks at the NFL level, or a single person who has called offensive plays at the NFL level. That's risky to me. That's risky. That's dicey. That's scary. Whatever word you want to use for that, from a Patriots fan perspective, it just going into a quarterback's second year. This is such a key period in his development, and to trust that to a group of coaches who, yes, are very experienced. Joe Judge has been around the NFL a long time. Matt Patricia has been around the NFL a long time, but it's just guys that aren't very experienced in the jobs that they're actually going to be doing. And yeah, it's a very large risk, in my opinion.
Zach, and I guess the thing for me when you talk about this coaching staff and the assembly of this coaching staff, when McDaniels was ultimately in the process of, when there was conversations being had of, okay, it's looking more and more like he's going to get the head coaching job in Las Vegas, I got the sense that, like, okay, Bill O'Brien, sure. I mean, that makes sense, right? Like, go get a Belichick retread. You know, go get a guy who's maybe now at the college level but has some experience running NFL offenses at the NFL level. But to go this route, I wonder, because here's the thing, Zach. Players are smart, right? Like, especially nowadays, the crop of younger players, I'm wondering, I mean, they'll never say it, Zach. I mean, you will never hear Mac Jones go up and not say anything other than, we're really excited, you know, what Joe was able to do in his short amount of time. I know it didn't work out at the end. Like, you'll just get the coach speak, the PR speak from every player. But I'm wondering in the back of their heads what they think of this situation. Again, well, we're never going to know, but if you were to guess, hearing some of the things from the NBC Sports in Boston there, hearing like he's kind of hearing even players are even sort of wondering, what's going on here? Like, do you get the sense that, like, that could be a storyline within that locker room?
I think it could be, yeah. I think it's too early to kind of make any sweeping judgments or panic or anything like that. And obviously, as you mentioned earlier, with Bill Belichick, you do have to give him the benefit of the doubt. There does have to be some level of in Bill we trust type thing with anything like this. But yeah, I mean, if they start off poorly offensively, if Mac Jones just kind of takes a step back in the first couple of weeks, there's going to be a lot of questions asked about the way Bill Belichick assembled this coaching staff. And it is a little surprising to me. I thought Bill O'Brien would have made a lot of sense. I know people have said, oh, well, he'd probably be a guy who's only here for 1 year because he would want to go get a head coaching job elsewhere. Yeah, fine. I would, if I'm the Patriots, I would take that for 1 year and then kind of readdress it next offseason. And the fact that this clearly wasn't a plan that was formulated a while ago because Joe Judge was a head coach and wasn't available as of about 6 months ago. So, yeah, it just seems like something that it appears thrown together to me. It probably wasn't. Obviously, Bill Belichick plans these things out better than pretty much anybody in the NFL. But yeah, it's certainly a situation where if the Patriots don't look completely cohesive offensively early in the year, it can definitely become a very large storyline for sure.
And I'm wondering, Zach, like I keep kind of thinking about the steps that are kind of needed for this offense to take this year because of the Dolphins, because of the Jets, and frankly, because of the Bills, I thought, took a step this offseason, going and getting a Von Miller, going and getting Jamison Crowder, who I think could be better than Cole Beasley has been because he's younger and I think does a little bit more with the football in his hands than Beasley did. I think they got better on the offensive line. So, like, obviously the Jets, they're in route to take some sort of level of step. And the Dolphins, they get Tyreek Hill. And whether or not Tua is good enough to make that work, I guess where I'm going with this is it seems and feels like from the outside looking in that this is probably the most pressure a Bill Belichick coach team has felt in New England and maybe ever since he's been there. And I wonder if the Dolphins, you know, this is a little bit of prognosticating, but if the Dolphins were to overtake and have a better record than and beat in both instances this year the Patriots, I'm not asking you whether or not, you know, the Patriots are going to fire Bill Belichick at the end of the season if things don't go well. But I think I'm asking you, if things don't go well, could the Patriots move on from Bill Belichick this year?
I don't know. That's going to be something that it would obviously be a very large franchise-shaking decision, and I'm never going to predict that right now. But I certainly agree with you that this is a very pressure-packed situation for Bill Belichick and this Patriots team. And even beyond the AFC East, all those teams that you mentioned, you look around the AFC, there are 6, 7, 8 AFC teams that at least on paper appeared to get better this offseason. And you look at the Patriots and you could make the argument that their roster might actually be a little bit worse now than it was at the end of 2021. Now that could change if Mac Jones takes a step and if Jonnu Smith and Nelson Agholor and some of those free agents from last year perform a little bit better. I'm not saying the Patriots will undoubtedly be worse this year than they were last year, but overall on paper, it's hard for me to say with any confidence that the Patriots are going to improve on what they did last year. And that's a very different situation for this franchise. It's a team that now has not won a playoff game since the 2018 Super Bowl. It's gone 3 straight years without a playoff win. And if that makes it 4, if you make that 4 this year, if they even regress a little bit and miss the playoffs in a very competitive AFC, then, yeah, there are going to be a lot of questions asked, for sure.
And ironically, Zach, this is a team that going into week 16, was it? Excuse me, week 16, was it first place in the AFC East?
Yeah, I think it was week 14 or something like that. But yeah, it was late in the
season.
Yeah, coming out of that bye week.
Yeah, it's late in the season that they're in the top of this division. And to sort of see how things progressed, that second matchup against the Bills and obviously that wild card matchup, I'm wondering as an offense. Listen, I like DeVante Parker, but the team that traded DeVante Parker to the Patriots was so unconcerned about what DeVante Parker would do that they traded him within division, which is not something that you really see a lot of in the NFL. I'm wondering, you know, with DeVante Parker, you mentioned Aguilar and you mentioned Jonnu Smith. I mean, those are two players that they desperately need to take a step, particularly Jonnu Smith, Zach, who, just in terms of contracts, is, pacing one of the worst free agent pickups of the last decade. I mean, that's how poorly it's gone. I'm wondering what kind of role you envision Joe Judge and Matt Patricia carving out for Jonnu Smith, because if there is not an emphasis on not just getting him going, Zach, but featuring him, I mean, you don't pay $12.5 million to a tight end and then go 2 years without figuring out ways to get creative with him. I'm just wondering what that looks like, Jonnu Smith in this offense. Now, we don't know because this is an offensive coordinator and an offensive group of play callers we've never seen call play, so it can be hard to maybe know what they've got in store. But, man, they better have something.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I think Jonnu Smith was easily the most disappointing member of that free agent class for the Patriots last year. You look at the production he was able to bring. He had 9 catches on 10 targets over the first 2 games, and then I think he had like 12 catches or 13 catches over the remainder of the season. Also graded out as one of the worst run-blocking tight ends in the NFL. Just a really poor season for him, especially coming from the years he was able to have down in Tennessee. It was interesting to me earlier this offseason, Robert Kraft, the Patriots owner, did say that they are, quote, making changes to kind of try to unlock some of the potential from some of their more disappointing offensive free agents. Very clearly, he was talking about Jonnu Smith and Nelson Aguilar there. So unclear what that's going to look like right now. I do think you're going to see a bit of a different Patriots offense this year, if only because they now no longer have a fullback. Jakob Johnson, their fullback for the last couple of years, he's now out in Las Vegas with Josh McDaniels, and they don't have a single player at that position on the roster right now. So maybe you'll see some more 2 tight end sets, which a lot of us expected to see last year. That ended up not really coming to fruition. So maybe that's how they kind of feature Jonnu Smith a little bit more, try to get some matchups for him to sort of exploit what he does well. Because, I mean, for one silver lining of his last season, I think he ranked 3rd in the NFL in yards after catch per reception. So he was productive when he had the ball in his hands. He just didn't have the ball in his hands all that often. So, yeah, going to be very interesting to see what exactly that looks like, how the Patriots are able to try to get Jonnu Smith back to the kind of player he was with the Titans.
Zach Cox here of the New England Sports Network. He covers the New England Patriots on the Wester Hotline. And, you know, I think it's fair to say that at this point, and in understanding that myself, my co-host for Bills Buffalo Bills pregame, Jeremy White, we were both kind of on team go get Jonnu Smith last offseason when he ended up signing with the Patriots. I don't think a lot of people envisioned the Patriots going out and spending $12.5 million on 2 tight ends, much less after the Hunter Henry signing. It was almost assumed, okay, well, that means good things for the Bills. I think the Bills are going to have an opportunity at Jonnu Smith at the right number. The right number in our mind was like $7 million. And him getting 12.5 was like, whoa. Yeah, the Bills were not going to be in that neighborhood whatsoever in any conversation around Jonnu Smith. But our thought the entire time about what he could be, I mean, I guess you really only had to feel like you were watching him play in Tennessee, that he's just not a natural in-line tight end, a hand in the ground, in-line. You mentioned him being one of the worst blocking tight ends in terms of run blocking in the league last year. I feel like in order to sort of unlock the Jonnu Smith thing here, Zach, it feels like there needs to be a level of creativity. And I just think that paying $12.5 million for a guy that you have to manufacture non-conventional ways for him to be successful feels like you are sort of admitting that that was a mistake. And I don't think anyone would argue that it wasn't a mistake, but I just, having to get him the ball in non-conventional ways just seems like an admission of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a valid point for sure. And also the fact that he does seem to be a player that you need to scheme up touches for. You need to find creative ways to get the ball in his hands. And now this year you're going to be having an offensive play caller who does not have any experience calling offensive plays at the NFL level. So I think you have a little bit more confidence in that if it's Josh McDaniels in here, because he is
right.
One of the more creative offensive play callers. But yeah, having, whether that's Joe Judge, whether that's Nick Caley, whether that's Matt Patricia, whoever ends up calling plays this season, it's going to be somebody who is inexperienced and is probably a bit of a tougher ask to have him kind of scheme up some creative ways to really unlock Jonnu Smith. So yeah, that's just another kind of wrinkle of this whole Patriots coaching staff and why it is really puzzling to a lot of people around here.
Listen, I love Pierre Strong, but two running backs in this draft after taking Ramondre Stevenson last year, who I think you could argue, like, a lot of people felt, especially if you're a fantasy owner, like, yeah, give him the ball more. He's a really solid breakaway threat. And then you have Damien Harris, who is a guy that they drafted, who you probably want to see him touch the ball more. How do they use all of these running backs, Zach? Like, and how can you, and they have James White, who they just re-signed, coming back. You can't dress five, can you?
Yeah, I was not surprised that the Patriots drafted a running back, especially with where James White is in his career and his injury situation. He's coming off hip surgery. There was a report earlier this month that he hasn't been fully medically cleared and probably won't be on the field for OTAs when they begin next week. He is back on the field doing some, at least some conditioning work, so that's a good sign for him. But he's 30 years old, coming off hip surgery. There's no guarantee that he's even going to be on the Patriots roster this season. And even if he is, he's definitely nearing the end of his career. So I think picking up somebody like Pierre Strong, who some people view as that James White type replacement, I think that was a smart move. Drafting two running backs, I was definitely a little surprised by. Kevin Harris, who they got in the sixth round, is kind of a flyer type. I mean, as a sixth round pick, he's not going to be guaranteed to make the roster. Also didn't have a particularly productive final season at South Carolina. He was coming off back surgery. He had a couple really really productive games, showed some talent, but he's not a guy who's going to be locked into the roster. But it will be very interesting to see how this whole position battle there shakes out, because if Pierre Strong and Kevin Harris both really impress this offseason this preseason and training camp, rather, I don't think it's out of the question that the Patriots could trade Damien Harris, because he is entering the final year of his contract. It is become pretty clear now that paying running backs big second contracts really isn't great business in the NFL. So if the Patriots are looking at Harris, who is one of their better players, had a great year last year, wouldn't be for any talent or production reasons, but if they're saying, well, this is a guy we're probably not going to pay next year, we have Ramondre Stevenson, we've got these young guys, maybe we flip him now and see what happens there, see what we can get for him. So I don't think that's a guarantee by any means, and I would probably expect Damien Harris to be on this team, but if some of these younger backs really do flash this summer, I don't think that is out of the question by any means.
The classic former quarterback in me realizes we've just gone like 20 minutes and I haven't asked you one question about the defense. So maybe I'll send you off on a defensive question here, Zach. I do wonder, like, this is a team that Bill Belichick, and I always talk about this, and it was the same conversation that I've been having about Jordan Poyer here in Buffalo, right? Jordan Poyer is talking about that he is going to sit out OTAs if it means he gets extended. Now, he's got 1 year remaining on his contract, so, you know, maybe this isn't the right time. It's in a Super Bowl window. The Bills have just paid a bunch of people. The thing I've always kind of admired, low-key, about Bill Belichick is he seems to always walk away 1 year before the fall off the cliff happens. I'm thinking of Laura Malloy in this, Ty Law. I mean, player after player after player. It just happened with Stephon Gilmore. The J.C. Jackson one, though, thing is I'm a little interested in that decision, Zach, because he goes out and gets paid by the Los Angeles Chargers. That's not a guy at 31 who's a year or maybe a year and a half away from taking that cliff fall And it doesn't really feel like they've done a ton to replace him. What does that defensive backfield at the cornerback position look like this year, considering this is a division with Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill, now Garrett Wilson, and Elijah Moore?
Yeah, it's going to be very different from the way that the Patriots have constructed things back there in the past. You go back to really 2012, there's always been at least one Pro Bowl caliber lockdown cornerback in there. You go from Aqib Talib to Darrell Revis to Malcolm Butler to Stephon Gilmore to J.C. Jackson. And then you look at this year, they don't really have anybody like that on their roster right now. They've added a couple players since they let Jackson walk. They brought back Malcolm Butler, who is now, I believe, 32 and was retired last season. So we don't know what his game is going to look like. They brought in Terrence Mitchell, kind of a journeyman guy, started for Houston last year. And then they drafted Marcus Jones and Jack Jones in the third and fourth round. So they brought in some bodies there, but it's definitely a much different setup at the cornerback position than it has been in the past, just because they don't have that clear number one guy. We don't even know who their quote-unquote number one cornerback is going to be this year. It could be Butler. It could be Jalen Mills. It could be Terrence Mitchell. It could be one of these rookies. It's just a very different philosophy back there than they've had for a while. And the J.C. Jackson thing did surprise me a little bit. I didn't expect the Patriots to pay him the amount of money that the Chargers ended up paying him. But because there clearly was a lot of interest there, I'm a little surprised that they didn't give him the franchise tag.
Sure.
And then try to trade him and get an asset for him. That was a little bit puzzling to me. But there are a lot of questions for this defense. I mean, in the secondary, at linebacker, the linebacking core is going to look completely different this season. It's going to be a very different-looking Patriots defense, which probably is for the best, just given the way that everything ended late last year. They were one of the better defenses in the NFL for a lot of the season, but you just saw them wear down late in the year. I think they've tried to get younger, they've tried to get faster, and they're hoping that they can now keep up with the Josh Allens of the world in the AFC East.
Zach, thanks so much, man, for joining me on this Saturday afternoon. Tell the folks where they can find your work, what you got coming up, and all that good jazz.
Absolutely, yeah. You can follow me on Twitter at Zach Cox Nesson. You can find all of our Patriots coverage over at Nesson.com. We've got Patriots OTAs starting up on Monday, so we'll have plenty of stuff coming out of that. Nesson.com if you want to check any of that out.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Zach. Appreciate you. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Zach Cox there of Nesson there. It's NESN. That's the New England Sports Network on the Western Hotline. Going to take a timeout. Ty Dunn, he was on the afternoon show yesterday. He's on with me today because we're talking Saban Jimbo. It's coming up next here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organization. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. And they broke state laws. They're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen. And it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top, it's amazing. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable.
Whew! Jimbo! Coming in hot. That's what the kids would say, coming in hot. Nick Erie here, Sports Talk Saturday. That's Jimbo Fisher, former Florida State head coach, now the current head coach for Texas A&M. He was another thing the kids would say was, clapping back on Nick Saban, the Alabama head coach, if you've ever heard of him. The czar of football called him a narcissist, the god of football. And some might call my next guest on the Western Hotline the god of long-form written pieces. And I would be fine calling him that. I'm not sure that he's comfortable calling himself that. But it's my job as the host of this show to introduce the god of long-form piece written pieces of the founder of Go Long, joining me now, Ty Dunn. So, Ty, listening to Jimbo, I'm not sure we've probably appreciated how whiny and just the biggest babies in all of college sports, being probably the three most popular head coaches, Jimbo, Dabo, and Nick Saban, all of which are just crying incessantly about this name, image, and the NIL laws and everything that's been passed and college players getting paid. But man, I don't remember ever seeing a college coach dig in as hard as Jimbo Fisher has dug in against Nick Saban. It's unprecedented.
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me.
Of course,
in the
brother.
Intro. You definitely don't need to call me that, but I appreciate the sentiment. I thought that you guys played like his voice on 3-4-X. Like, that sounded fast.
Yeah.
Like, is that really as fast as Jimbo Fisher was talking there?
He needed to get
edited?
Through a lot. He needed to work through some things, Ty.
Yeah. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's a joke. I mean, you sound uncomfortable in your own skin. You sound weak. And I just wish, you know, Saban, like you just said, there's no good guys or bad guys here.
That's right.
Everybody just looks small and weak, and just own it. Just own it. It's we all saw blue chips in the 90s, right?
We all
know Ricky Rowe got his dad the tractor, and, you know, Butch McRae got his mom the nice house with the yard. And, hey, you know what, Neon Badeau, he didn't even want anything, and he got a car.
That's right.
But, boy, talk about a film ahead of its time. But now it's legal. Now you can throw the money all over the place. We all know what the deal is. I don't know. At some point, it'd just be great if all of the head honchos sitting at the table that rule college football just sat there and owned it. And just don't, you know, and you know what the funniest part of this is, Nate? The SEC came out, the next day and put a muzzle on everybody.
Because that's
Nobody's
always the good move.
Right, yeah, because, we're all going to forget about it, and this is going away. Lean into it. Just lean into it and have fun. Let them say whatever they want.
I don't know. I agree with you on the embarrassing part of this, because part of this is, yes, it's the Jimbo Fisher response, but it's the original quote from Nick Saban. And the ironic part of this, Ty, is he's sitting next to basketball coach Nate Oates, who we know very well here in Western New York, you know, former UB coach, takes on the head coaching job at Alabama. And where this quote is coming from, Ty, is at a press conference of local businesses and sponsors, and they're literally saying, you guys got to start the pony up here. We can't compete. Like, what? And Nick Saban has the gall to call out other coaches by name and programs by name as he's at a press conference asking his local community to start paying his athletes. It's unbelievable.
It's like he was asking for it. Like he's the smartest, narrator basically of the sport at the college level. Like every word he says, he knows the weight it carries.
Yeah.
So to just kind of float that into the atmosphere, maybe he was just setting the trap, right? Like just set it for Jimbo and just wanted him to go crazy and somehow this is going to help him. I don't know. I really don't know how it helps or hurts anybody, but. Yeah, you're right. It's the forum in which he went off like that is nuts. You know what's crazy? It's like at Go Long, we had Taylen Humphrey, mm-hmm. a D tackle from the Louisiana Raging Cajuns. He wasn't drafted. I think he was at rookie camp with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Anyways, like when we're talking, he had a hot minute at another school, and I can't remember, Florida International, and he was telling us like, yeah, you know, and we had the tutors just kind of do all of our work for us. Like, just admitted, like, you know, somebody else just did all of my homework and took all of our tests. And I'm sitting there thinking, if this is Taylen Humphrey
right.
at Florida International, what
right.
the hell is going on at Alabama right now? So, in that sense, Jimbo's right. All right, Nick, if you want to open up that closet door, let's sift through your skeletons. Good luck with that.
And, like, listen, there is a level of And there's a level of truth to what Jimbo's saying, but at the same time, you know, I think from Jimbo's perspective, it's not like, and here's the thing too. We took, and this is what we collectively as a society in the social media era, take a 7-minute interview and take out a 40-second clip without any context behind it. If you go back and listen to the entire thing, it is not as scathing as the 40-second clip we heard actually makes it sound to be. Like, he comes back, and here's the thing. He shouldn't have mentioned Texas A&M, and he certainly shouldn't have mentioned Deion Sanders, because he's at an HBCU. Yeah. He is doing the Lord's work right now. To throw him under the bus, I thought was really unfair from Nick Saban's perspective. As Will Smith famously said, keep my man's name out your mouth, Nick Saban. Keep Deion Sanders' name out your mouth, okay? But he may have a little point about Jimbo. The thing with Jimbo, Ty, is you come off sounding so defensive. This Nick Saban wasn't on his, he was on a soapbox, no doubt about it, but he wasn't up there inflammatory and calling these people names and doing this and that. Like, you come off Jimbo Fisher as a guy that felt like he needed to set a press conference to defend yourself. And that comes off a little like, if you don't have anything to defend, why'd you go up there and defend yourself kind of thing.
Right. And that's where maybe Nick Saban is coming from, and he's like playing chess when we all think this is a game of checkers. Like, maybe he knew that Jimbo Fisher is, you know, he's got a short fuse, and he's going to have that press conference, and he's going to lose, and then all hell's going to break loose, and he's not going to look good out of it. Because I get it, you know, usually I'd agree with you on, okay, somebody talks for 30, 40 minutes. I hate it, you know, yeah, when 5 or 6 seconds of that conversation is thrown into a headline, and that's all anybody's talking about. Like, honestly, that's a big reason I created my site.
Right.
Everything's moving towards memes and gifs and nonsense, and, you know, I'm all about the long form. But yep, at the same time, Nick Saban knows what he said, and he thought about that. He didn't just willy-nilly kind of trip into saying that Texas A&M is buying their players. Like, that's coming from a place of strategery, one would say, on Nick Saban's part. So, you know, it is nuts. We're all talking about SEC football, you know, in the middle of May. So
that's
in
right.
that sense, that's where I thought it was weird the SEC would just try to shut this down. You know, hey, sometimes any press is good press. Yeah. The NBA playoffs are going on, the NHL playoffs, the NFL is king. Why not let your coaches, you know, get in the ring and duke this
battle out? Just absolutely.
Yeah, I'd pay to watch that.
I mean, after that, yeah, I feel like we may need to see round two. And listen, Ty, like, part of one of the things that I guess bothers me about this whole conversation is I feel like the conversation around college athletes being paid in its current standing lacks so much nuance, so many layers to this conversation that you can't simply do the partisan part of this, which is you're either for it or you're against it. I think that is totally wrong and the wrong way to look at what's happening in college sports right now. I think it's incredibly possible to believe, because I think this is where I stand, that college athletes should be paid for the product that other people are being paid for, right? They are playing a sport, and the money that's being generated from their play is going towards the university, for college football coaches' salaries, for libraries, for new facilities and weight rooms. Like, there's a part of me that agrees, if you are the reason the revenue is being brought in, you deserve a cut of that pie. But what it is right now, I'm going to say this. I don't believe it's sustainable. I think you can be in this camp, which is to say these players deserve something, but I don't think this is working for college athletics. And frankly, I don't think it's working for, I mean, just the NCAA. They suck so much that it's so hard to sit here and try to sound like I want to defend them a little bit. But man, this isn't working.
Typical,
this is not going to work, Ty.
Theory. Typical corporate nakery.
Right, of course. What a corporate shill I am, right? Like, but, like, this isn't going to work, Ty.
It is the Wild West, right? I don't know. I think we're on the same page. And, like, these kids, I mean, they're 18, 19 years old. They have a skill. You know, they're performing for millions upon millions of people. They're the ones responsible, like you said, the libraries and the insane
salaries given to professors, and all of this. And they're the ones out there that are the reason people go to school. I mean, think about everybody's dream school. Like, I remember being a kid watching John Wallace and Otis Hill go to the Final Four. I was like, man, I want to go to Syracuse one day, right? And that was, like, in the back of my brain somewhere as a third and fourth grader, and it stayed there forever. So it, in a free market, and I'm as pro-capitalism yep. as it gets, they should be able to get every dime they're worth off of their skill. So, all right, how do you kind of fit that within the NCAA? Good luck, because the NCAA is a cluster you-know-what,
yep.
and they're going to trip over themselves at every turn. You know, there's a great story. Everybody out there should read it. I think it came out in, like, 2012, 2013 by Taylor Branch. It was in the Atlantic, called The Shame of College Athletics. And the NCAA was, like, founded on such a sham. They convinced everybody that they had this authority power when they never really did. And I think that it's kind of tearing down. So, in a sense, I kind of like the utter chaos. You know, I kind of like the fact that we're all seeing the NCAA for what it is, and all of these power brokers are going at it, and nobody really knows how to handle it, because for decades upon decades, they've had this God, free labor.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Absolutely.
That's what it is.
Free labor.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Everybody gets they reap what they sow, and good luck, right? Good luck figuring this out, NCAA.
Tyler Dunn to go along here on the Wester Hotline. I got him for a couple more minutes. And Tyler, what I want to get one Patriots question in, but I'm not quite done railing on this whole situation, because as much as both of us agree, Saban, you're kind of a jerk. Jimbo, you're off your rocker. And Dabo, maybe you should just shut the bleep up, because I'm sick of hearing Dabo talk about it, to be quite honest with you. He just sounds like such a big baby with it. But Nick Saban, as much as I hate sort of the conversation being had, he does have a bit of a point. It's just that I don't feel bad for him because of the dominance he's had in the sport for so long. If this continues on the tracks that it's going, which there is no end in sight for me, Alabama's not going to be the powerhouse they've been. They are not Los Angeles. USC, you know, the big Miami, like these big schools with corporate sponsors that will shell out hundreds of millions of dollars, those are going to be the ones that are going to utilize this new era of football, of college sports and college athletics, and those are going to be the new Alabamas, but because they have the corporate sponsors to afford it. And I guess I agree with that point a little bit, Tyler.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, and that's where it gets tricky, because then it becomes not as pure as it's been.
That's right.
Right? If it was ever pure.
The fake innocence. The fake innocence of college sports.
Yeah, I guess I'm not ready to take that leap yet. Like, let's see it. I think that these schools in the SEC have just built up, you know, such a reputation that this is where you go if you're a five-star
yep.
running back and you've got this skill. Like, you go to Georgia, you go to Alabama, you go to Florida. Like, I don't know. Let's see if a really good football coach can go out to USC and shell out all kinds of money. But at the end of the day, I feel like it still takes really good coaching. It still takes players themselves being on the field and working at their skill to then get to the point where, okay, now you can get that big marketing deal. Now you can get that big sponsorship. So, I don't know. I get it. Like, I get the concern. There's just no easy answer for it. At the end of the day, I guess these guys should get paid. They absolutely should be paid. I mean, you're out there, you're suffering concussions,
yep.
you're doing damage to your brain, you're going to be a different person later in life, you're tearing your ACL, you're tearing your Achilles, and, you get a scholarship, great, but these guys, I mean, they're probably not going to put that major to use. Like, they've been playing football their whole lives. Like, they've got this ability. So, I think we didn't solve it here on the show. I don't know if anybody will, but it will be entertaining to watch, at the very least.
So my favorite Charlie Weiss quote of all time is, well, guys can't take bubblegum 101 here at Notre Dame. That's why we're not getting the big recruits. So what you're saying is bubblegum 101 is not a transferable degree in today's world?
Oh, my. You know what's funny is I can still remember sitting in a history 101, big lecture hall, Syracuse, and, God, I think Johnny Flynn, Eric Diebendorf, probably a bunch of the basketball players were in there. And they were there the first day, and then they got up.
Never
and
again.
Left, and we didn't see them the rest of the semester.
Ever again.
Now, did they quit? They could have. Maybe they quit the class for all we know. Or maybe they got a B. You know, I'm sure Jim Boeheim had something to do with it.
Oh, I would bet. I would bet that. I
he
would bet that.
University, like these big figureheads, they run the show. So, yeah, I don't know what the answer is for it all. But hey, you know what? We'll all watch.
We will watch, undoubtedly. Speaking of watching and like what liking to watch, like tires on fire and the big smoke plumes. I've got to get your because I feel like I haven't heard it or seen it yet. Your take on the Patriots and what this is going to look like with Joe Judge and Matt Patricia apparently calling plays. Like, this isn't a joke. Bill O'Brien's not jumping out of one of those, like, human-sized cakes where it's like, just kidding, I'm here. And even if he were to jump out and try to save the day, you've got Bill O'Brien saving the day. What a sad state of affairs for the Patriots. Like, I've got to say that this is, if nothing else, we're talking about entertainment value of the NCAA. We're going to watch. I'm going to watch, but Tyler, I can't say that I've ever seen a coach talk about narcissism just thinking like, I'm good, I'll have Joe Judge call plays.
I don't understand it whatsoever. We all could not take our eyes off of that 20-car pileup that was the New York Giants that those last 4 weeks. It was tragic, and he was front and center. I mean, he was delusional talking about 2 years prior when everybody in New England thought they might get fired. Well, they won the Super Bowl that year, and, you know, nobody's got the golf clubs out at the locker. And, you know, that's not a thing, Joe
Judge.
That
didn't happen, Joe Judge.
No, like, it just doesn't happen. And you can talk about culture all you want and, you know, spin as many cliches together that you want. At the end of the day, like, you need some intellect when it comes to the sport, and he did not display much of any. Was that a 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9 when they ran?
3rd and 9.
The pig pile quarterback. Sneak.
From their 7-yard line, yep. Mm-hmm.
A Pop Warner special to give yourself a little bit more. It's ridiculous, but, you know, if you read Seth Wickersham's book, it's unbelievable.
Yep.
Everybody should read it.
You should.
It's just different there, right, with these coaches in New England. It's its own ecosystem, and it's just a different world, for better or worse, and Joe Judge was there for a very long time, so Bill Belichick trusts him. And I think that Bill Belichick is really going to be the one behind this offense.
I agree with that.
I don't know. You know, I get it. Joe Judge is there. Matt Patricia's kicking around. This just strikes me as Bill Belichick just kind of muddying it up. So his hands are all over this offense for one way or another. And I'm not that nervous from the Buffalo Bills.
No.
Josh McDaniels was he was the brains
the
behind
architect.
Mac
yep.
Jones. Right, yeah. I mean, they did. I know everybody loves to mock Mac Jones around here, but man, from where he was in September to where he was in November, December, I mean, that Cleveland game, he's actually, you know, firing it downfield and making some throws. So you lose the coach that was behind that development. I'd be really worried about that if I was New England on where Mac Jones goes from here. You know, forget the fact that, you know, the Bills just kind of beat the hell out of you twice. We'll see where it goes. I'm the last person that's going to count Bill Belichick out.
Right.
In terms of putting together a defensive game plan, you know, he can still do that. But I think offensively, what did they do to keep up in a shootout with Josh Allen and the Bills? I don't think Devontae Parker gets you there.
No, they got Peppers, right? They got the safety. Yeah.
Jabril Peppers, right? Yeah. You know, Miami's going to be interesting.
Yes,
though.
They are. They are.
Even if, and I know you're not the biggest Tua fan.
I am not.
You know,
how'd you know that?
A tweet here or there.
Here or there.
I saw Tua's trainer went after you. Nick Hicks went for Nate.
Oh, is that right? I didn't even see that.
Yeah, I know him well. He was Devin Singletary's agent down at Perform.
Oh, God. I'm not
they
the...
work out at the same
is that,
place.
Was that recently? I'm going to have to look at that. I didn't even know that happened.
A couple days ago. He wants blood.
I'm into that.
Even if Tua is Tua, they've got the best possible play designer they've got 4 legit starting running backs. They beefed up the offensive line. Tyreek Hill is somebody everybody in Western New York is very familiar with
yes.
by now. But Cedric Wilson's a solid number 3. Jalen Waddle, you move him all over. Offensively, they should be able to design some pretty fun plays. And I think that they've got a coach that is the antithesis of Joe Judge. I mean, this is somebody who does think about sequences and how to set things up, and he'll get the absolute best out of Tua. Defensively, we'll see. You know, if they can stop or slow down Josh Allen, he's had their number. But I just think offensively, they're a team that could potentially keep up with the Bills.
Tyler, appreciate you, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, your nice long weekend, hopefully in Chautauqua. Thanks so much for joining me on the road, and we'll talk again soon, my friend.
Hey, you got it, man. Thanks for having me. Appreciate that.
Of course. Anytime, Tyler. Tyler Dunn there on the Western Hotline of Go Long. You can check out his work, golong.com. All right, I take a timeout, and I got another break-in. I do this a lot. My bad. It is what it is. Greg Thompson, Cover One, joining us at 1. I've got Brian Koziel at around 1:40. We've got all that coming up next here on WGR. All right, I got to take another time out. We've got Greg Thompson of Cover One joining us here at 105. I've just now, thanks to Tyler Dunn, gone down a rabbit hole of Tua's trainer, who has been tweeting at me pretty incessantly. Seems like he might be a little biased and obsessed, but who's to say? Who's to say? All right, time out, Cover One, Greg Thompson. We're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming season. We're going to talk about something that he brought up in his podcast yesterday, the Bills and playing teams coming off their bye week. Pretty interesting stuff. We'll talk to Greg. That's coming up next here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.